BSI presenta el Show de las Normas, el podcast que le trae las historias detrás de las normas.
BSI apresenta o Show das Normas, o podcast que traz as histórias por trás das normas.
BSI presents The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards with Matthew Childs and Cindy Paragill.
El episodio de hoy, Copan y el desarrollo de normas en Sudamérica.
No episodio de hoje, Copan y a criação de normas na América do Sul.
Today's episode is about Copan and standards making in South America.
Hola, hola, and hello. My name is Matthew Childs, and this is The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards. And as you can hear, there's a different flavour to this episode, a South American flavour. So it's very much gracias to BSI colleague Andy for her lovely Spanish intro. And obrigado to Cincha, host of the podcast Xa Com Rapadura, for that beautiful Portuguese intro. And we thought we'd blend a bit of English, Spanish and Portuguese because we're looking at the work of COPANT, the Pan-American standards body, but focusing in particular on its work in South America. And we're doing this through my conversation with Corey Aguino. Corey is Executive Secretary from COPANT, an organisation representing and supporting 32 national standards bodies of the Americas, founded way back in 1949 in Sao Paulo in Brazil. I spoke to Corey about COPANT's current priorities around the circular economy, climate change, digital transformation, and gender equality in standards making. I also spoke to her about how it works with its members, as well as her own standards journey. And also in this episode, you'll hear my conversation with Myra and Oscar from COPANT member IPNORCA, the national standards body of Bolivia, about a number of things, including standards education and how we can support the next generation of standards makers. Oh, and also about the board game Trivial Pursuit. Don't worry, it all makes sense. Cleaned off. Now, although this is a Matthew without Cindy episode, here is Cindy with a quick reminder in English.
This is Cindy Paragill with a quick reminder that here on The Standard Show, we really welcome your feedback. Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, especially if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Find and follow us on Twitter at Standard Show and on Instagram at The Standard Show. And check out the show notes for all of the ways to get in touch.
One of the great things about doing this show is the chance to speak to people all over the world. And I've said it many times before because it's true. The only reason I'm able to do this is through the miracle and magic of international telecommunication standards. And in fact, the reason you're able to listen to this at all. So the latest version of this miracle was my conversation with Corey Aquino of COPANT. Me in a corner of Southeast London and Corey in a corner of Bolivia's capital, La Paz, or The Peace. I started by asking Corey to tell me more about COPANT and her own standards journey to it.
COPANT, it's the acronym of the Pan-American Standards Commission. In Spanish, it's Comisión Panamericana de Normas Técnicas. It's an association that brings together the national standards bodies of the Americas, of all the Pan-American region. We have North America, Central America, the Caribbean, and South America countries all together. COPANT, well, our region, it's very diverse if we are talking about economics or trade. We didn't achieve to have market union or an agreement of trade in all the region. We have sub-regions like in South America, we have Mercosur, but we also have the Andean community. In the north, we have the NAFTA. We have the CARICOM in the Caribbean, and Central America also have their own agreement of trade. But that means that it really doesn't make sense to harmonize standards for the Pan-American region. We tried for several years, COPAN developed Pan-American standards. But when we start asking our members the degree of adoption of those standards and the use of them for facilitating the trade, we find out that it's very, very, very few. So what we really move to be more a cooperation organization to help our members to be more active in the development of international standards and also develop the capacities of our members, because, as I say, we have a very different economies in our region. We have one of the biggest and the poorest economies in our region. So there's a lot of difference there.
I mean, that's right. You talk about the sort of north and south and sort of that Pan-American states. I mean, that covers a really huge range of countries, doesn't it? You obviously have that, you know, a couple of major players and some huge populations, but obviously some very small countries and organizations as well.
Yes, we have very, very small countries in the Caribbean, for instance, with a very, very low population, but they still have one national standards body. And we have countries very, very large and very big and with dense population, and also have one national standard body. Maybe the difference also is that in the north, so we have Canada, United States, and Mexico, they have a different approach for standards. They have a national standards body recognized by the government, but they have SDOs, what we call SDOs, that are standards development organizations, and they work on different areas. So they specialize in different areas. That's not the same in the rest of our region, where there's just one organization that develops standards.
Now, I want to come back to talk about some of your members, and especially how COPAN sort of works with its members, and also looking at sort of the current priorities of COPAN. But before we get there, I'm interested in you. So I want to know, the question we ask pretty much all of our guests about their standards journey. So how and when did it start for you, and where are you now?
Well, very young, and by chance, actually. I think a lot of
people... You stumbled. We have a lot of people that stumble into standards. You're going to tell me you stumbled into standards, are you?
Yes, yes. I think the majority of us doesn't think, oh, I'm going to work with standards. Doesn't even cross your mind. I have a background of a food engineer, and I started working in a food industry here, a bakery, industrial bakery, and of course the payment was very low and the hours of work were very hard, and I met a friend by chance, who was the vice ministry of industry here in Bolivia. And he offered me a job in the ministry. I was like, oh, okay. But the payment was the triple of what I was doing in the industry. So I said, well, why not? And what do I have to do? As he said, well, you're going to work in standards and quality. I didn't have a clue what was about that. And the first task is we are negotiating the free trade agreement with Mexico. So you have to negotiate the chapter of standards.
We're in the deep end then.
So I say, yes, of course, I can do that. And when I started to read the document, the legal document of the agreement, I couldn't understand a thing. Because I'm an engineer, I don't have a legal background. So I had to study a lot. tried to learn a lot about that. And it really a pity, because even if I had a scientific background and there's a lot of standards for my my specialty, I never saw a standard in the university. So this is what now blows my mind, as how can it be possible? And there's still some careers that doesn't, there's still young people that doesn't even know what a standard is. So I started working like that. So I worked for the government for a few years. I tried to come back to the industry for some years, but it didn't really work. So I come back to the ministry. And then I was invited to become the executive director of IGNORCA, the Bolivian Standards Organization, that it's private. And I've been there for 8 years. And then I was invited to be the executive secretary of COPAN. So I'm here in COPAN for 12 years already. My work is more management. So to propose projects, to collaborate with the members, to promote some mutual cooperation between our members, so maybe some internships or some trainings between them, or we even have networking sessions during our week. Once a year, so we promote that our members have bilateral meetings and maybe some agreements between them or MOUs or what they need. So my work is looking for projects, help members developing capacities, and look for and also be very aware of the trends in the economy, in the society, in the environment, and try to bring those trends, issues to be discussed by our members and see how we can focus from the region. And also we work a lot to promote more visibility and participation of our region in international standards. So mainly ISO, because most of our members are members of ISO, and we also work a little bit with IEC, but that's my work.
As an organization, what are COPAN's current priorities? What are you focusing on?
Right now, we are working in a regional project funded by a German corporation, the PTB, on circular economy. So we are working in three main circular values, like agri-food, plastics, and building materials. We are working together with the other regional organizations, our sisters, if you want to, on metrology and accreditation, to make sure that the three pillars of the quality infrastructure are involved in developing tools to include the circular economy in our work, but also help projects on circular economy to already have standards or the measurement or the certification, laboratory, whatever they need. So this is one issue we're working on. And as COPAN, we have the task to develop some guidance to be used then by the countries. Then we are developing also a project on digital transformation for our members. As you know, even before the pandemics, but with the pandemic, we have to move very fast to transform everything to digital and online. And developing standards may be very usual to do it digitally for some economies, but for very small economies or maybe NSBs that are governmental wasn't that clear. So we are now having asking our members to make an auto evaluation of their digital transformation maturity, and there then start from there to see how we can help them, maybe with a platform or with some training or some software they will need. And the other main issue we are very focused on is on gender equality. So we have an action plan in that issue and try to have some discussions with our members to see how they are doing also nationally and inside the NSB with the gender equality. So and with the one with circular economy also, we develop an action plan on climate change. So as you are aware, ISO has signed the London Declaration on 2021. So we as COPAN are supporting this declaration, and we are also working with our members to see how we can help them with their action plans nationally and through standards, how we can help to tackle the climate change.
Now, we'll pick up the rest of my conversation with Corey later, but right at the end there, she talked about COPAN members, and one of those members is IBNORCA, the National Standards Body of Bolivia. Now, luckily for me, some IBNORCA colleagues were visiting the UK late last year, so I grabbed my microphone and went along to meet two of them, Mayra Gutierrez Alcaraz and Oscar Vargas. Corrections Corner. It is Mayra, but during this conversation, I say Maria. Sorry, Mayra. Now, though it sounds a little bit like we're in a nightclub, we were actually at the BSI Standards Conference. I started by asking them my favourite Trivial Pursuit question.
Do you know the game Trivial Pursuit, the board game?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so when I was growing up, so my favourite Trivial Pursuit question involves Bolivia. And I go, what are the two landlocked countries in South America?
Bolivia.
And Paraguay. It's my favourite, I don't know why it's my favourite Trivial Pursuit question. It's worth a blue wedge. So there you go. So that's my favourite points. So look, I am with Maria and Oscar from IBNORCA. Right. So Maria, tell me about you and what you do for IBNORCA.
Well, hi. Thank you for having us. I am the head of the Strategic Management Department. So we are in charge of the international projects, and that is why we are here.
And Oscar, what do you do for IBNORCA?
I do standards, basically. I supervise the committees, and of course, I'm in charge of the selling and so on.
Now, look, I'm going to ask about IBNORCA in a second, but Bolivia. Come on, pitch Bolivia to me. What's Bolivia like? Tell me about it.
We're really diverse, I would say. So we're from La Paz, and it is really has kind of this weather, as Oscar was mentioning, but we have really different cities, and it's just... We have some really hot cities, and we have some beautiful landscapes and everything. So it's a really good place to visit. So you should come and see, and we can do a podcast there.
It looks like I'm being invited. So what would you say, Oscar? How would you describe Bolivia?
I think we have a lot of everything. Yeah, because we have the high altitudes, and we have the lowlands as well. So we have the Andean weather, crazy water, and we have the tropical lands. So I think we are very varied in that way.
I might be demonstrating my ignorance here, but isn't La Paz the highest capital in the world? Isn't it the highest altitude capital?
We do have the highest lake in the world. Yeah.
See, I was showing off about Paraguay and Bolivia being landlocked, and now I'm ruining it by not getting that right about La Paz.
Clarifications Corner. I was right. The highest city and capital city in the world is La Paz. It sits 3,869 meters above sea level. And Myra was right too, in that Lake Titicaca, which borders Peru and Bolivia, is the highest navigable lake in the world at 3,810 meters.
So tell me about, it's obviously IPNORCA, National Standards Body of Bolivia. Now obviously BSI, National Standards Body for the UK, an independent organisation. We have a relationship with government, but we are independent and have been for over 120 years. So tell me about IPNORCA, how would you describe it as an organisation?
We are also a non-profit private organization, but different from BSI, we do not perceive any money from the government. So we are basically doing the standards with the revenues of our other services, because we are not only a standardization body, but we are also a certification body and an inspection body. So we have these services that we do at IPNORCA. But there's that is curious is that we have in our board of directors, we have the public sector as well.
And in terms of size, how big an organization are you in terms of number of employees?
We're a small one. We have only 67 employees now.
And how does that compare to other standards bodies in South America?
I don't really know the size of the other standards body in South America, but we have all, because some of them are just as small as us, and we have even smaller ones. But there's also Brazil, for example, that it's a really big institution.
I want to ask you about actually how you might work with other bodies in South America. But Oscar, you're looking after director of standardization. What are the current sort of standards priorities for IPNORCA as a standards body?
Actually, the food sector is the most important one in Bolivia, actually, because I think 2/3 of our catalog is for food standards in general.
Has that always been the case?
Yeah, more or less. And right now, one of our main interests is energy, environment, that are both very, very starting points that we need to address right now, and are going to be in our strategy as well.
I mean, we'd heard on the conference today, you've been attending the conference, we heard about getting standards out to SMEs and SMEs taking up standards a lot more. Is that an issue that is also an issue out in Bolivia too, about how SMEs are taking up standards?
It's a challenge everywhere, because, you know, SMEs are the most part of the industry, but they are not being, included enough in the standardization process. And I think we need to address that in a way.
And what tactics are you currently using to do that?
We try to reach them through meetings, through workshops, or through open talks, maybe. But it's always difficult to engage them. So it's...
Now, what's an issue close to my heart is about education, about standardization. I know you're interested in that sort of work. So what are you currently doing in terms of educating the next generation about standards and standardization?
Actually, that is a new project that we have. We are trying to work with universities, because if young people is going to use standards when they are in university or they learn about it, they are going to eventually use it in their workplaces. But what is happening now is that you learn about standards when you're working. And maybe it's too late, and we need to learn them early. So that is why our strategy is to approach universities. And we want to go further and maybe into schools, but that might just be in the future.
Give me a sense of scale here. I mean, we have around 150 UK universities. How many universities are there in Bolivia?
I would say there are less than 100, but I'm not sure about the number.
And in terms of the focus there, talking about the next generation, would you be focusing on particular courses or faculties, particular subjects that students are doing?
Engineering, because I think they are more applicable to the technical standards, and we have a lot of fields there. So I think engineering could be useful right now.
Now tell me about, obviously part of the reason you're here is because you're working on a project with BSI. So Maria, tell me about that project.
Yeah, it's a project funded by CIDA, and we are working mainly to see how IPNORCA as a standardization body could help the environmental sector and other sectors as well in order for standards to really be a tool that they can use and that they can know that the standards are there, not only in order to develop the standards, because if nobody knows it exists or if nobody is using it, then what is the point of actually doing the standard? So we need to engage everybody with the importance of having the development and use of standards in specific sectors, for example, where it can be really helpful. So that is basically our goal and what we are reaching, and we are using VSI Health in order to do that.
And how would you sum up, I mean, this event? Obviously, we've had our conference today, which is all about trust has been our big theme. We've had our standards award. What have you thought about this? I don't know whether you put on similar events in Bolivia, but how have you felt of this as an event? What was the experience like?
It was really interesting because we actually had an award ceremony a couple of weeks ago. And I think it is important to recognize the work that they are doing because it's a voluntary work. So basically, we need to recognize not only us standards body, but everybody, the important work that these people, who is behind the standards. I think that is important to know.
And Oscar, what would you take away from the event today?
First, the organization. I think it's really nice how they organize. And second, I would say that you see a lot of people that are very old. So they basically have their whole lives working in the standards, and I find that really, really great, because you can see I'm really young, but I can see people that
I can see you really young, Oscar. I can see that very very young indeed. Yeah,
but I can see people that are very old, and they have been working their whole lives in the standards, and I find that very, I don't know, really nice, actually.
I think it's inspiring, isn't it? I mean, there was an award given today for someone who'd been around for 50, been involved in science for 50 years. Now, I'll ask you a final thought here, because obviously I'm involved in education, and we've heard today again talk about young professionals being involved in standards. What do you say, Bolivia, to young people who you think should get involved in standards? What's your pitch to them?
Actually, it's how they can use the standards later, because it is, standards is not really sexy. It's not a really sexy subject. So how we engage them is actually by showing some examples on how actually a standard works. If we're talking about food, why is your food clean? Why is it safe to eat it? It's because of standards, basically. So that is how we are engaging them, explaining this by not just talking about the standard, but what does it actually do?
For me, actually, what I think we do and we could do and explore more is to how we can hear more about young people in these committees, because what they want is to be heard. So we can give them access to that, and we can give them a voice in the end. For instance, we have like a pilot committee, students committees, so they can actually talk, they can actually develop a standard, but in their own way. So they can learn about the process, and they maybe later they can participate in the actual committees. So that's what we're trying to do right now.
Maria, Oscar, really nice to meet you. And in fact, I'm glad you've had a fantastic time meeting with BSI colleagues and obviously attending the conference and visiting the UK. Now, I think at the beginning you invited me to La Paz to come over and do. So I'm looking very, very much looking forward to coming over to Bolivia and doing this all over again. And maybe I'll learn a bit of Spanish to do, though. How about that?
Yes, we also are running a podcast, so maybe next time I can interview you.
That would be amazing. Thank you very much. Really nice to meet you. And safe trip back home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was lovely to meet Myra and Oscar from Ibnorca at the conference, and not only to chat about standards education, developing the next generation of standards makers, things very much close to my heart, but another thing very close to my heart too, podcasting, and how lovely to get an invitation from Myra to go to La Paz and record there. Nice. You can find details of the Ibnorca podcast in the show notes. Now, back to my conversation with Corey from Capant and about how it works with its members, like Ibnorca. You've mentioned your members, and obviously a very diverse region and, and a large membership. I just wonder, because of that, you know, diversity in terms of the type of countries, but also the type and size of the national standards bodies within them, how does Copant work with its members?
I think the relationship that Copan has with our members are very close. I think we have this advantage that members feel very confident on Copan because our work was from the beginning, how we can support our members, how we can, even if they pay a membership fee, how we can give them more than that, more than the fee they pay annually. So we develop training programs. We give them some financial support to attend some technical committees meetings for experts. We, as I told you before, develop a lot of workshops on exchange of best practices and experiences, so the members can compare to themselves and benchmark, and maybe have some support from other members to develop some issues they have. Sometimes in these workshops, we have members that share some challenges they have and hear best practices from others or lessons learned from others, what they already done, so they can have this, not the solution, but the path to go instead of crying and failing and having some solutions from other members. So I think this is why Copan is so close to our members. And we even try to be the bridge to the international organizations, because our members feel more confident with us, with Copan, than with ISO, for instance, that they saw it very far away from the reality of the communication. And also, the Latin people is, we are very passionate and we need to trust people. We need to know people, and also my work is that to talk to them, to make sure that I'm there for them. A lot of our members, besides developing standards, they do some they have some services on conformity assessment, could be accreditation, certification, inspection, laboratories, calibration. This training is organized always in Mexico. So we have Mexico receiving the other members and taking them to their accreditation organization, to some labs, to some certification bodies, for them to learn how they work. That's one example. Then we have, for instance, Brazil for us is the champion in our region in, not considering, of course, the North, in IT tools. So we organize also trainings on IT tools for standards with Brazil leading. And we have very, very good results with some countries that develop the tools that Brazil helped them to develop in their organizations. And we have a lot of examples of like that. Depending on the subject, we try always to identify who's leading this specific area or issue in our region, or have very good experiences that could share with others. And of course, we ask them if they are willing to share their experiences, their best practices, and maybe train or help some of our members. And the response is always very positive of our members to give. They are always willing to share and give their knowledge and their best practices to to their peers in our region. We even have some very good experiences also with some European members. BSI is one of them, of course, and we have AFNOR, and we have UNIF, and we have UNI from Italy, that also give some training to our members. And those organizations are adherent members from COPANT, so they are very close also to our region because they attend our general assemblies and they participate in some of our activities. We also receive some collaboration and cooperation from them to our region.
You mentioned some European standards bodies there, Corey, and obviously they're members of CEN and CENLEC, which is the European standards body. I just wonder, how does COPANT differ from a regional organization like CEN and CENLEC?
Well, the biggest difference is that you have a united market, the European market. So for NSB to be part of CEN or CENELEC, they have to adopt as nationals all the standards that are approved at CEN or CENELEC. And they have to replace the national standard because those standards are tools or are one of the tools to promote the trade between the United market. As I told you before, in our region, we don't have that. We don't have a free trade agreement for all the Pan-American region. There's some regions that have their agreements. So it doesn't make sense to harmonize standards that won't be used, because of and one of the reasons maybe that we are promoting more participation in international organization and adoption of international standards is that depending on the industry, our members are using or European technology or American technology. So they are using those standards. And that's why it's very difficult to harmonize standards in our region. So it's best for them to go straight to ISO or IEC and try to participate in the international harmonization of those technologies and then adopt the standard nationally.
Now, I hope you've enjoyed this South American-flavoured episode of The Standard Show. Thank you to Corey for talking to me about COPANT and about how it works with its members and represents them. Thanks also to Myra and Oscar from one of those members, Ibnorca, about some of the great work they are doing in Bolivia and for the shared love of podcasting too. Thank you to Cincha from the podcast Sha Com Rapadura for her Portuguese version of The Standard Show intro. Thanks again to Andy for her Spanish version and also for all of her help in producing this episode. There's a bit more of Cincha and Andy in a moment. Now, for more information on COPANT, Ibnorca and standards making in South America, then check out the links in the show notes.
Tú estuviste escuchando un episodio de El Programa de las Normas.
Você ouviu episódio do Show das Normas.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show with Matthew Childs and Cindy Parakill. Subscribe to us now wherever you get your podcasts.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.